brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Welcome to Results Matter Radio. I'm Dana Barrett. With me today, co-host Lee Cantor. How you doing, Lee?
I am doing great. I'm excited about today's show. We got a wonderful group of ladies here doing important things here in town.
Absolutely. These are three women from the Women's President Organization. We have with us Phyllis Newhouse of Extreme Solutions, Inc. Hello, Phyllis.
Good morning.
Randy Satterley from Van Ran Communications and Clean Sweep and a couple of other organizations. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
And last but not least, Tanya Mack of HealthGate. Welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So we're thrilled to have you all here. There's a lot of power, a lot of women in this room, Lee. Can you handle it?
I don't know. A lot of estrogen.
That's right.
So, Tanya, why don't we start with you and give us a little background of what your business is before we get into what the organization does.
Okay, great. So I'm president of a company called HealthGate, which is a new startup company, though we've made quite a bit of traction in our first year. And the idea of the company is that we partner with premier physicians in the city across 15 medical specialties to provide medical services at a 25 to 75% discount. And consumers that are either underinsured, have a procedure that's not covered, or have a high deductible where they're just writing out-of-pocket checks,
sure,
can go online and find the savings, find information, and find videos and patient reviews and stories to save money.
Cool. So this startup, you said?
It's a startup.
Is this your first startup? Or
oh,
have you been
no.
In?
Yes, no. My last one I sold in 2008 and did very well with that.
Uh-huh.
And we were looking for one of the next things, and I got connected to this group of investors that basically had an e-commerce site in a different vertical and thought, what can we do in healthcare? There's so much pain around people paying out of pocket. Let's transfer our e-commerce skills to the healthcare sector.
Now, it didn't occur to you you could retire and go to the beach and hang
that
out?
That isn't my style, although I do live on the lake, so I get plenty of water time.
Yeah, you serial entrepreneurs.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, we never quit.
That's right.
So, Phyllis, you want to share a little information about your business?
Sure. Extreme Solutions is an information technology and solution company with a specialized area in the cybersecurity space. And one of the things that we do, we do a lot of the integration work, so we take a lot of the legacy systems that are out there, and we take those systems and enhance them so that they are can be protected in terms of data compromising. And we do a lot within the federal space, in particular, doing a lot of the systems integration work. So we take old legacy systems, and we allow those systems to share data and, you know, pretty
much still be secure.
And still be secure, right, during the integration process.
And that way they don't have to buy all new equipment.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the other areas that we focus in is the information assurance. So on that in that area, what we focus on is doing all of the compliances that all network systems have to have. So in the federal space, that would be with the organization called DISA. And with DISA, that allows the federal systems to operate at the level of security that they're supposed to. And so we do all of the inspections for all the Army hospitals worldwide in terms of whether or not they're in compliance.
And keep that data safe.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Interesting. There's some things like that you never even think that are going on.
Well, who does that?
Right.
Yeah. Not the kind of thing you would
Phyllis
think as like a 7-year-old. I want to do that when I grow up, you know? How did you end up there?
Well, when we first started in this federal space, we started out as more like in the professional services where we did a lot of help desk support. And what we saw was a trend of a lot of intrusion of data, a lot of network systems being broken into as we evolved in technology in terms of a lot of the mobile devices. We saw that a lot of your data was going to need more protection. And so we saw the federal space in particular moving in that area with a lot of the compromising mm-hmm. of systems that they had. And so we really kind of built our business model around that particular niche. And it's paying off big time.
Now, how many people have the password?
Oh, Jesus. I think we had this discussion before, and you'd be surprised that there's about 70% of folks that still use password 123.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So you're encouraged, really, to change your password, you know, with every 90 days, or some organizations require the 30-day. I know in a lot of the organizations in the casino business, with their networks, they are required to change their password every 10 days. The system will automatically lock them out where they can't get in unless that password's changed.
So I have to say, I appreciate security on the one hand. On the other hand, that is really annoying, don't you think? I hate having to change my password all the time.
Until you have something stolen, Dana.
Right.
I know.
Or you get your email account hacked, and then all of your friends start getting emails that you didn't send. So that's one reason you should change it.
So is there any big initiative coming that's going to make our lives easier and not remember 50 passwords? Or
no.
You hope not, right? That's good job security for you,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
All right. Well, it's great to have you here. And Randy, you want to share a little bit about what you got going on?
Sure. I guess I'm one of the oldest inveterate, if you will, entrepreneurs. I have a company, Van Ran Communication Services, Inc., and we sell and service data solutions and voice solutions. We're an authorized Avaya business partner. We just picked up a new line called GenBan. We do call centers. We do unified communications. We do network assessments. And we have a nice complement with what Phyllis has done.
Yeah,
and
I would imagine you guys could work together pretty nicely.
We're moving forward in that direction. So that is the company that currently pays the bills. Mm-hmm. I'm also on the board of directors of a diagnostic genetic testing company.
Because that's a logical, you know,
telecommunication
to that, right?
I guess there's no correlation, but it's really exciting because I think it's a real game changer as far as savings people's lives are concerned. A simple genetic test can tell you how and if your body can metabolize any of the top 100 most commonly prescribed drugs. For example, warfarin, there's 2 million new prescriptions annually, and 4% of the people who are being put on it, they can't metabolize it. They will bleed out. They will die.
Aye.
That's 80,000 people who are dying needlessly when all they need to do is a simple genetic test administered through a buccal swab. And not only that, it'll also tell them how, and their doctors, how they will metabolize certain drugs. So this is kind of funny. My mom is 97, and we just had her genetic testing done to see how she absorbs drugs. They have her on Plavix because she has fibromyalgia, and it turns out she's an ultra-fast metabolizer of Plavix, so it's not doing her any good in its current form.
How long has she been on it?
Probably for about 2 years, and we can save the government a lot of money if we can just move forward and get people genetically tested.
Wow.
80% of Medicare's budget is spent on 20% of the recipients. And a lot of this is are people getting four or more prescription drugs. So we can make an impact.
That is so amazing. You could save so much money just individually. I mean, of course, the government's going to be interested in that as well. But even individually, to know that you're wasting your money and your time and maybe getting side effects for something that's
not even... You don't
even need. You're 100% right on. And we went up to Washington in January, and we met with 22 congressional and senatorial staffs to basically say, hey, are you aware this exists? It's something we need to do. And it was interesting because we presented at the Women's President's Organization at our meeting in Dallas, Texas last month. And the average size group of a woman in the Women President's Organization is 100 employees. And we probably hit a good 300 people who were there who were just amazed and saying, how can we get this message out? How can people know that this simple test mm-hmm. exists and we can improve patient health care and we can reduce costs?
Now, is your objective to roll out this test like directly to the consumer or?
Physician-based? We know that, heavens forbid, you get information you don't want. It's better it comes through your physician.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just in the process of launching a women's healthcare panel where we're testing for estrogen replacement therapy and how and if your body will absorb it and if you have a higher risk of developing cancer if you go on it. And we're teaming with Vanderbilt and other universities as we move forward on this. So it's exciting
times. Stuff.
Well, and with the whole Angelina Jolie genetic testing story that's been in the news. I mean, that must be really good for your business.
Yeah, I think it is. I think the biggest thing is we've got to get awareness out there that right now the bulk of medical dollars are spent in the last 6 months of a person's life. And we have Dr. Leroy Hood, who developed the sequencer for the genome product project. He's on our board also with Iverson. And he basically is dwelling on what you can do to address medicine up front. He's got something called P4 medicine, which is predictive, participative, prognostive, and I forget the fourth one. But
but so it's kind of your genetic testing and genetic testing in general, that's a game changer, right?
Definitely. And I think it's something that's really taken us a long time to get it accepted out there.
What's the scary part, do you think?
I think the scary part is basically how you will receive the information if you're not ready to receive the information. Mm-hmm. What we're doing right now is predominantly in the arena of drug metabolizer enzyme testing and adverse drug reactions. So, but we know it's just going to be a matter of years before everybody's genome is going to be sequenced, and we're going to change medicine big time.
We'll go to individualized medicine.
Do you think that
personalized medicine?
Yes, really? Absolutely.
What's the timeline? What's your best guess?
I think it's probably going to be within a year or two.
Really? That quickly?
We've had five governors now who've given us proclamations. We just got one from Chris Christie, a letter saying, hey, we support personalized medicine. It's our responsibility to let everybody know that it's out there. And back to Tanya's point, we can save a lot of money by utilizing personalized medicine because one size doesn't fit all when it comes to dosing.
Right, absolutely. Well, that's all interesting stuff, but you guys are here to talk about something else. It's the Women's President Organization. Do you want to share your thoughts on that?
Let me begin, because I guess I've been a member the longest, probably for 8 years. And I was
First, can you share just maybe some history or some background about the group in general?
Sure. I believe it was started about 10 years ago by Marsha Firestone, and she recognized that women leaders needed a forum in which they could share information and kind of bounce ideas off of one another. And to that end, she started this organization, and we were one of the first chapters in Atlanta to start. It was an absolutely fantastic experience. The people I've met have just been phenomenal. My attorney came through the Women's President's Organization, and a lot of the business ventures that we've rolled out have been supported by the Women's President's Organization, and we've been able to get guidance and input from the Women's President's Organization.
And then what's its mission?
Its mission is to help women better address what their business needs are in an environment that's supportive and conducive, I believe, but I'm going to probably defer to some of the other ladies get their input.
Do you have to have a certain amount of sales? Is there a certain requirement to be a member?
Right. The revenue is the average revenue is about $2 million a year, but that is one of the requirements for
WPA. Is $2 million?
$2 million in revenue.
I think the criteria is you have to have a leadership position and be a part owner and then have over $1 million in sales to qualify.
And it's women-only organizations?
Right, absolutely.
And then it's women supporting each other? Like you said, you found some trusted advisors through the group?
Yes, for sure. And it's interesting because Phyllis and I are looking at a venture moving forward in a couple of arenas. I was had the opportunity to meet Phyllis a couple of months ago. And we're in the process now of bringing another product to market under a company called Clean Sweep Sanitation. And we feel that we have a lot of leverage here to team together to make this a phenomenal change again in handling bacteria, mold, fungi, E. coli, MRSA. We kill it all. And Phyllis has some great contacts, and we figure by teaming we can roll it out to the market a lot more quickly, and we can actually save lives and improve patient health care as we do this.
But now you two didn't know each other than this group?
No. Correct.
Yeah, we met through, we both have the same attorney that's also a member of the group.
Right.
And one of the things about WPO is that how the chapters are designed, they all diverse backgrounds and industries that we all come out of. Which is it brings in a good opportunity for shared experiences, and in each chapter you have about 20 members that comes from different industries, so you really have
so competitors too or not? They have to be
there's
non-
no competitors.
So different verticals like manufacturing, service, healthcare, legal.
So a chapter would be all non-competitive people.
vertical, market
right.
verticals.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. But it doesn't limit you from, I mean, it doesn't exclude you from being able to team together on different projects because of the being in different verticals as mm-hmm. well. So Randy, again, Randy and I met as a result of one of the WPO members and saw the opportunity for us to leverage some of the relationships and skill sets that we both had and then some of the things that our companies are doing. So, but the other good thing that comes out of WPO is also an opportunity to expand your relationships in other areas because there is chapters all over the country and we have chapters outside the United States as well.
So then, it, like, say you were going to another, like you were going to Chicago, you can check to see the group there.
Absolutely.
And then you can kind of, they can plug you in.
Just right. to give you a feel, Lee, last month we had the national WPO meeting in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the newest member, so I had no idea what to expect.
Right.
But I walked in the room. There's 1,000 women
plus.
Business owners collect, plus internationally, I think, from 20-something other countries. And one of the opening statements was the women in this room manage a little over $1 billion in revenue and about 300,000 employees.
Wow.
So pretty powerful networking group and supportive group in general, I think.
So now when you go to one of those kind of huge conferences like that, how do you attack it? That 1,000 people could be overwhelming. Education? Did they have breakout sessions?
Yes. And actually, Randy led one of the breakout sessions called Turning Back the Clock. And I think it was standing room only in there because so many women, when they get to this level and you're running companies and, the information that you can get from other women who are already doing it. And I think one of the sessions she led really talked about the genetic testing.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought up a very interesting subject for a lot who are at that level or either looking to eventually one day sell their business, move on in life, or they're really not paying attention to those health matters while they're growing their business.
Right.
So it was really just a great breakout session that we got from that.
But it is flexible. There are keynote addresses from top leaders across all businesses
mm-hmm.
that everyone's invited to. And then there are several small group tracks. So if you want to work on negotiation, selling your business, taking care of yourself like Randy did, there are a number of different interests that you can pursue.
And this is peer-to-peer.
Correct.
Like you're sharing your best practice.
Mm-hmm. I think the delightful part about the WPO is, as you said, we're all peer-to-peer. And it's lonely at the top. I think we can all say that. But if we get in with a group who's doing the same thing we're doing, and we can bounce ideas off of them, and we can network, we can get to the top of that mountain so much more quickly than if we were to try to do it alone.
I think that's such an interesting point because we've had some other organizations come in like that with people at the top. And one of the things that always comes up is it's not like if you're the president of the company, you can sit down with, a couple of the people you work with and complain, a gripe about your day or someone
you're
else.
The leader.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So you always kind of have to be worried about, it's just like, famous people. You're constantly setting an example. You can't even really be in a bad mood because people are going to pick up on that and think, oh, my God, the company's doomed. The sky is falling.
Right.
So how important is it for you to have a peer group like that?
I think it's fantastic. I think one of the things that I learned early on is the last thing you want to do is bring your business home with you at night with your husband or your children. And it's so nice to be able to get away and get with a group of women who are your peers. And everything is confidential in our session, so you know that if you have a major problem, it's not going to be broadcast all over every place. But in all probability, somebody already has gone through that issue, and we're able to collectively come up with a strong recommendation and help a lot of people move forward to the next level in growing their business.
And speaking of women in leadership, I'm curious to know what you guys think of some of the recent sort of press about women in power. Sheryl Sandberg, obviously COO of Facebook, with her book. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but she, has pretty strong views on women helping each other and talks a lot about the statistics that show that often, well, first of all, that there's a lot of gender bias by both men and women. It's not just men that are biased against women. We're all biased about gender. And that, in the older days, and I think she probably does say what time period that is, but she talks about, there used to only be sort of one token woman in any organization. And so you had to fight to hold on to that position. So women really didn't help each other because they were afraid that they wouldn't be the token one anymore. And to change that now, we have to have organizations like this and help others in the organizations. Do you kind of agree with her? Do you find that to be
true?
Oh,
absolutely. I agree. I came out of prior to running a business, I was in the military for 20-some years, and it was sort of that old-school way of, you know, you're the token one that make it, and you don't, so that mentality was there. But when I started this company, I saw the need to really empower younger women to want to get there so that you're not the only one at the top. And so even within my own organization, we run a mentorship program, which is to be able for the senior level, C-level women to go back and mentor someone else. And that's, you know, that has to change.
Absolutely.
I have an interesting story about that. A friend got promoted to the largest architecture firm on the planet as the HR director. And I worked with her and her group during the process. When she got there, she found out very quickly that all the other women in the company thought they had a target on her back because she had the only spot.
Yeah.
So they all had to kill her off.
Yeah.
To kind of get that spot. But what she brilliantly decided to do is we planned a one-year initiative to grow women in her company. And how she went about it was she had women-only leadership sessions starting with her group in the United States by invitation only, got the funding for this to advance women in her company. And for the first month, she had all of them together in a retreat. So they had personal relationships across divisions, VP level, to start not fighting for resources but work together. 3 months later, she invited Asia and connected the two groups. 3 months after that, she connected Europe and those groups. At the end of a year, she had spanned 70 women leaders across the planet, and they had stories like, hey, I've known about you but never met you. I fought you for 10 years. I'll never fight you again. They ended up calling. They met at Serenbee here in Atlanta every 3 months, and they ended up globally calling themselves the Serenbee Sisters. And they really, what is the value to that company that they advance the women, they built the relationships across the oceans, but it takes something like that to really advance women to the C-suite these days, mm-hmm. I think. And that is, WPO is another good example of how you can support and work together.
Right.
So it is lonely at the top. There is a lot of, I think, difficulties in advancing women, but you just kind of have to hold hands and really plan for that and not have it be arbitrary. You really have to develop people.
Right, and not look at it as a zero-sum game where
exactly.
Your win is somebody else's loss. And it's great that there's an organization that where you can go and find information from people who are going through the same thing you're going through, and that you're not having to, you know, have to look elsewhere or go to somebody that you're not comfortable with, that you can have people around you that you're comfortable with to share this kind of the secrets, the what's behind the curtain stuff that you won't get anywhere else.
And just to add on to what Tanya was saying, I think so many of us were frustrated working for the large corporations that we weren't seeing the level of achievement and accomplishment that we personally set forth for ourselves. And I think that's why so many of us left and started our own businesses, mm-hmm. so we could actually do what we felt we had the capability to do.
Yeah. Another interesting kind of theory that Sheryl Sandberg has is, and it's not her theory actually, she presented a study in the book, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was called the Howard Heidi study, and it's basically this woman, Heidi, was in real life a very successful venture capitalist, and there was an article written about her, and it talked all about how she got to where she was, friends in power, you know, money, all this stuff. And they took that article and they literally just replaced her name with Howard, so there was one version that said Heidi and one that said Howard, and they gave it to a yes. class of MBA students who then took a survey. And what they found was that all of the students found them to be equally capable and equally successful and all of that. But no one liked Heidi and everyone liked Howard. And no one wanted to hire Heidi and everyone wanted to hire Howard. So bringing that up, my question to you is, there is that, I think, theory that women who are quote unquote bossy are not likable, whereas you've never, ever probably heard a man called bossy, right? Have you experienced any of that in your own careers with sort of being accused of being not likable, not nice, bossy, bitchy, any of that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that goes back to there is this theory that women have to, the reason you're that way, because you're trying to prove yourself. You're trying to get the respect. You're trying to, you know, get people to buy into your leadership, that whole idea. But I look at it from this perspective, is that when you're running an organization, Respect is both ways. When you respect your organization respects you. Whether you're deemed to be bossy, some are going to see your leadership style, and they're not going to buy into it. Some have their own internal issues that have nothing to do with your leadership style. So I think that women who are running companies and organizations will always get that label. Working for a female boss is, that's got to be hell.
Yeah.
Maybe not always, but until the numbers are a little more in our favor, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think not only do you experience it as a woman, but if you come from a different geographical area of the United States, for example, we moved down from New York to Georgia, and the style that makes you successful in New York is completely different from the style that makes you successful in Georgia. So I think that's another consideration as you move forward and establish yourself as a leader.
Yeah, and then you throw the globe into it, and then now it's a whole new ballgame. Yeah. Different
right.
cultures.
Yeah, international,
so I think,
sure.
I think we all experience it. It's just we have our own ways to handle it, the mm-hmm. assertiveness, aggressiveness kind of question.
Sure.
And how things are done has a lot to do with the end result. So we're definitely having the numbers stacked against us for the moment, but I think we're making more impact than we have. And it's a visible topic everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you ever hear from men or women that, why do you have this women's organization? You guys already have equality. You don't need this.
I'll speak to that because I feel pretty strongly about that. So we all belong to other networking groups, not just the WPO for sure. So it's not like we're excluding men. I think we're all very active in business, period. And we're able to be very fluid. But, for example, I belong to another networking group that's a CEO, Vistage Group, which I've been in 10 years. It's very effective group and has really advanced all of the businesses, current or sold, that I've had. However, in the 10 years, there's 20 seats at the table and 3 women. And almost all of the other seats are 50-year-old white males.
Right.
So just getting differences in perspective is so critical because the globe is shrinking, and who we do business with here in Georgia is a pretty cosmopolitan city even. Across the globe, Randy's working on international things and this testing, and our reach is really big. We have to know how to move in every circle and how to communicate with different cultures, different styles, different people. So I think we all leverage. WPO doesn't really just promote women only, but it just gives us one more slice of the pie. And I think for me personally, because the style of most of the women is collaborative as opposed to authoritative, traditional, people are more easily sharing ideas, information, and contacts. So it's like a booster. It just speeds up the time. For me, that has been a value of WPO.
I think what I appreciate out of the WPO, again, is the camaraderie and being able to deal with people who have fought the same obstacles you've fought to get where you are. And I just wanted to build on something Phyllis said about the importance of mentoring, because I think that's where a lot of us are at this point. We're trying to develop the next generation. We're trying to give back to the communities. We're trying to make a change in everything for the betterment of women and everybody in general. So,
now, if you could, create your own little world here and say, okay, I'm going to try to reach the young women maybe that are in middle school or high school. Is there any advice you would give that, based on your learning, that maybe that it's not what's happening now? I would imagine you would think is not an optimal setting to create entrepreneurs and business owners if they just, just listen to what they learn.
I can think of two things that when I speak to young women or when I work to very young girls even, and I believe that the earlier the better, because then you plant seeds during the formative years that are the beliefs in themselves. And two things I try to pass along, and there's lots of words of wisdom, but that helped me. One is you have to create what you want. No one is going to show up. So if you want to be the artist, be the artist.
Be the artist.
If you want to run the business, open a business
right.
at 10.
Choose yourself.
Choose yourself.
Don't wait to be chosen by someone
and
else.
And be responsible for your own plan. So really figure out what you're good at, where you want to serve, what's that intersection. And you're going to, your whole life, have to create the circumstances for your life. The other thing I'd say is, I think we're kind of taught as kids to think small. I don't know why, but the bigger I think, the bigger I get. Mm-hmm. And so I always encourage my children, the young women, what's your highest vision? Don't think what's the next step, But think of the highest vision and work backwards, because even if you don't get all the way there, you would get so much further than next step, next step, next step. So those are 2 points I try to pass along.
Phyllis?
And I'll say this, because it's just interestingly, I got an email this morning coming here from a young lady that I've been working with, and she sent me an email to say, you know, thank you for a conversation that we had had. And one of the things I always, even in my own organization and my own family of women, I always tell them to, unless you know the reason why you want to do something, why do you want to be a psychologist? Why do you want to be an entrepreneur? You know, if you don't really define that why and constantly go back and check your why, you'll find yourself not doing and not living your passion to the fullest. And one of the emails, she said that what you did was you gave me a reality check on where I am in life, and I really don't know why I have a 4-year degree in an area that I have no desire to work in. And so, and I really want to start a business, and I don't know why I want to start that business. So what you've done is really given me a reality check to say, why are you where you are, and why do you want to go where you think you want to go? Mm-hmm. So if I could say anything, I'm constantly reexamining my why, because every time I go to that next level, I need to know why it's important to continue to move.
Right, to keep paying the price.
Absolutely.
To get there.
So like the 2-year-olds have it right. Why?
They're asking the right questions. Right?
I think one of the things that I really enjoy doing is going to various universities and addressing MBA students and hearing what their desires are, and they're asking questions, well, how did you get to where you are? What did you do? What were your obstacles? I think that's one of the most fun parts of what I get to do lately. So I think that's something that a lot of women in WPO do, as well as give back. They're on various boards, charities, etc. So we are able to get back and reach out to the young women and men in our community as mm-hmm. leaders.
So now, can you walk a listener through maybe that, you know, they're getting intrigued about WPO and they're thinking about joining? Can you walk us through what a meeting looks like?
Sure. We start our meeting usually with a one-word opener of tell us about yourself.
Right.
And some of the responses are absolutely hysterical, and they range from, you know, very enthusiastic, you know, ugh, I think has been one of the 1 point. And from that point on, then we have 3 minutes to actually go in and state why we feel the way we feel, so we can kind of catch up on what's going on. And then we usually have a areas that we're addressing. Do you have a problem? Is it urgent? Is it personal? Is it business? And then we try to select which problem area seems to have the most reach amongst the participants at the meeting. And then we delve into that and come up with recommendations, but never in a judgmental way, always in a questioning way, where we can objectively come up with what our conclusions are. And then ultimately, we all walk away a little bit brighter, a little bit smarter. We also have a session that's called Tips, where if anybody's discovered something that could help other people in the organization, they will share that too.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the rules and regulations, and for anybody in the medical community, things like HIPAA compliance, our attorneys will say, hey, did you know? So these are little things that we, again, are being made aware of that we probably wouldn't have had we not joined an organization like this.
And to Randy's point, even having, when you have very diverse backgrounds, it opens up very good discussions, a lot of discussions dealing, we have accountants that talks about tax advantages and things that you may not know as a business
right.
owner. And so having all of those women from all different backgrounds, the Tips session is very, very helpful.
Is there any, you feel like a sense of accountability where if you made a promise maybe at a previous meeting that you feel like I don't want to let anybody down?
Yeah. One beautiful thing about WPO is although there's accountability in the thinking, mm-hmm. you choose your own path. So you get 20 CEOs around the table, you're right. going to get quite a few divergent opinions,
sure.
which is great. But at the end, you can choose to be accountable or not. It just may be a discussion like, here's food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice when you come back. Do you want to report in or not? So to keep it non-judgmental, it's like getting the advice, but you don't have to pick at the table. You have plenty of time to consider, change your mind, get additional resources, and then continue it on or not based on what you want the next month. So it lends to a lot of non-judgment and flexibility, but also a very wide input pipeline, I think. Right.
And phenomenal networking. Mm-hmm. We're looking to do branding moving forward, and there's women in our organization who have branding companies. With the genetics company, we used another one of the WPOs to do our marketing for genetics.
And travel.
All these different areas. So it, not only are we getting the benefit of the expertise of the CEO levels, we're also expanding our needs to be addressed through this organization.
So now you all mentioned that you're part of other organizations, not this one, but is this one that you look forward to going every month?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know how some of them you're like, I have to go, but this is one that you're like excited about going because you're going to reconnect with some people.
It's always a good time.
Yes. And there's a personal side to it, too. So for our group, half of the work is actually at the table. Mm-hmm. And then the other half of the networking and continuing on and who do you know. And what's interesting is the dinner that follows or the retreat that we did or the social time that we had or whatever. So.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website for the group?
Yes. It's WPO.com. And that's when you go on there. It'll give you all of the chapters. You can look up locations. If you're in a city, Atlanta, anywhere in Texas, you can just click on the map, and it'll tell you where all the local chapters are.
And then can you actually apply to join if you want through that?
Or you have to be invited?
WPO is an invite only, but you can connect with the folks in New York.
Try to get an invitation.
they'll connect you to a local chapter, and the local chapter will contact you and if there is an opening, because there again, the chapters are a 20-member chapter.
And that's it. Then it's closed.
And then they can't have two attorneys in the same chapter.
Right.
So, again.
I think there are some openings in Atlanta, though. Yeah. So we would love to hear from other
successful
women.
How many chapters are there in Atlanta?
Two. We just have had a second chapter this year.
Wow.
And Randy's part of chapter one, mm-hmm. and Tanya and I are in chapter two.
I mean, I think that's exciting right there, that there are enough women at that level to have two chapters in this city. So, you know, hopefully by this time next year, there'll be three. Mm-hmm. There'll be that many more women in power, right?
And who knows how many new companies are going to come about as all of this.
Now, Tanya, why don't we go around the room and start with you and talk about your company one more time, like maybe a sentence or two and the website for the company.
Yeah, so we'd love to help any consumers out there save any out-of-pocket dollars. Please visit www.healthgate.com. And if you're on the provider side and you'd like to generate more business, you can visit that also or give us a call, and we'll be happy to sign you up and get some revenue generation going in your area.
And again, Extreme Solutions, that's with an X, Extreme Solutions, Inc. We're here in Atlanta. We operate out of four cities, Washington, D.C., also in San Antonio, Dallas. And we would love to hear from you, especially with partnering opportunities. And again, we're a whole solution provider for IT solutions and professional services in what area focused in cybersecurity.
And that's extremesolutions.com?
Right. Extremesolutions-inc.com.
Okay.
With an X.
With an X.
With an X.
All right, Randy.
Well, I'm with VanRan.com. That's the communications company. The testing company is Iverson Genetics Diagnostics. And the new disinfectant company... which we're going to be spraying electrostatically so everything in a room gets covered and will be killed for at least a week is cleansweepsan.com, www.clean with a K, cleansweepsan.com.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you all for being here again. Phyllis Newhouse, Randy Satterley, and Tanya Mack from the Women's President Organization. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank you.
This has been Results Matter for Lee Cantor and myself, Dana Barrett. We will see you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.